For Jesus to handle all judgment, he must know the hearts and the thoughts of every person. Adam and Eve, all the way through down to the very last, whoever that comes out to be. God would have to know the hearts and thoughts, which includes the people he's talking to right now, the hypocrites, right? He knows their thinking. They can't outthink him. He knows what they're thinking. He knows what's in their hearts. They don't even know why they do some of the things they do, but he does. The hypocrites, it also includes you and me. We're his, we belong to him. Christians, by grace through faith alone. He still knows what's going on in my heart. He knows what I'm thinking.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. The Jewish leadership persecutes Jesus as our study of John continues in chapter 5, verse 16. Here's Pastor Bob.
There was a man. We met him early on in the chapter. He had not walked in 38 years. 38 years. There were many, huge numbers of people sitting around the pool of Bethesda, the five porches that surround the pools, and they were waiting for an angel to come down. They can't see the angel, but the water moves, and the first one in the water, the tradition says, will be healed. But they're all in some way handicapped or incapable. And there's one man who cannot walk, and he has not been able to walk for 38 years, and he hopes to get in the water. This is not his first time, but he never gets there first. And Jesus looked at him and simply asked him, "Do you really want to walk?" And he said, "I would love to walk. I want to walk in, but I can't get in there. I can never be first. I have no one to help me into the water. I've tried and I can't do it." And this year is going to be no different than last, and all the 38 others. And remember what Jesus said to him? "Stand up, pick up your bed and go home." Carrying his bed. The problem was, and it wasn't a problem, not to me, not to you, not to that man, not to Jesus, but to the Jewish hypocrites, it was the Sabbath day. And you can't carry a load on the Sabbath day. That little mat that he was carrying, his little yoga mat thing, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Well, God's word didn't say that. The hypocrites made that up. He's walking away carrying that bed, and they said, "Yo, don't you know it's the Sabbath day? You can't carry that on the Sabbath." And he said, "The one that healed me told me to, and I'm just doing what he told me to do." They said, "Who is he?" He goes, "I don't know," because Jesus had walked on and was gone now. He said, "I don't know. I didn't get his name or nothing. I don't know." But Jesus found him later at the temple and talked to him a little bit. I'm sure you remember all that. And then he went back to the Jewish leaders because they had said, "We want to know who he is." And he said, "It's Jesus." The Jewish leaders asked the man, "Who healed him?" And after talking to Jesus, he came back to them and said, "It's Jesus. It was that guy, Jesus. He's the one that did this for me." So we take up now in verse 16. I'll read verse 15. "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had healed him, made him whole. Therefore, the Jews did persecute Jesus." They just went right up to him and rebuked him. I think I've heard Christians do that to God in their prayers. I heard a lady pray one time, "God, who do you think you are?" And I whispered, "He thinks he's God." There is no reason to be mad at him. The one that holds your next breath, if you need something from the Lord, or you have questions, you can humbly go to him and ask him anything. If you ask, who do you think you are? He's going to say, I am the Lord God Almighty. Because you already know what he's going to answer. So look at verse 16. Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to put him to death, to slay him, to kill him right there. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They were not interested in Jesus because they wanted to know how he healed this guy. They weren't interested in Jesus because they wanted to know how did that happen? Who are you? No, they were upset because they want to kill him. They literally want to put him to death right now. They're that angry because he broke the Sabbath law, and they challenge him on that. You broke the Sabbath law. By the way, everyone, that is not the Sabbath law. That's added to the Sabbath law. They came up with all kinds of their own rules. Hypocrites do that. You go to churches and they say, well, you can't wear these kind of clothes and you can't have that kind of hair and you can't have, well, they don't hardly say that to guys anymore because most guys are shaving their heads anyway, but, and girls too. But I remember the day when our hair was long, we were supposed to do a concert at a church and they wouldn't let me come in. It was a Methodist church and they said, you're not coming in with that hair. I said, I can't leave it outside. And I think with some churches, you got to watch what you wear. Some churches, you have to watch who you sit by. Some churches, where do those rules come from? Find them in the Bible. I'll give you a quarter. They're not there, everybody. We love everyone. We are sinners saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We are no better than anybody else. I wouldn't be looking down our noses at anyone. We shouldn't do that. We can't. They want to kill Jesus. So they challenge him. And he responds in verse 17. Let me read 16 again. Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them. So obviously they confronted him on it. He says this. Now, look at this. Look at these words. My Father works hitherto, and I work. But when he said that, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Now you made him madder just by saying a few little words. My Father works hitherto, and I work. Does that sound threatening to you? Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. How many of you, and you can raise your hand if you like, how many of you have been told that Jesus never claimed to be God? You've heard that one, right? A lot of pastors teach that. Jesus never claimed to be God. Are you crazy? He claims to be God almost in every other sentence through his ministry for 3.5 years. He claims to be God the Son, equal with God. He just said it in verse 17. They knew what he was saying. Now they want to put him to death for blasphemy. Not only are you breaking the Sabbath law, but now you are claiming to be co-equal with God. Man, there's something wrong with your head. You're crazy. They challenge him. And the attitude really is this from them. What are you doing and who do you think you are? Jesus answers that. My Father works continuously and I work also. I'm doing just what my Father does. I'm doing what, he'll say in a moment, I'm doing what I see my Father doing. And you think, what does that mean? My Father works continuously. I think we know, but sometimes the King James language may throw you off, and even some of the more modern versions don't really help you. Jesus' point is simple. My Father, who is the Lord God Almighty, continues to take care of all creation. He continues to sustain everything. And he doesn't care whether it's a Saturday, a Sunday, or a Thursday. God keeps the earth spinning. He keeps the universe doing what it's doing. God is doing that, God Almighty. Jesus says, my Father continuously works. It doesn't matter the day. So Jesus says, I, like my Father, co-equal. Yeah, he's saying he's my Father. They know he's claiming right there to be the Messiah. The people don't, but they understand that. And they want him killed because that's blasphemy. You are not the Son of God. And Jesus says, you know, I and my Father are one, basically. He's wanting to tell them we're co-equal. So he says, I work as well. What did he do today? He brought grace and mercy and healing to a man who asked for help, even on the Sabbath. He says, my Father, who's he talking to? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the doctors of the law, the Bible college grads. They're challenging him, and he's answering them. Notice he didn't say, our Father, and he didn't say, your Father. Who did he say? My Father. That lets you know the condition of their hearts right there, doesn't it? That lets you know they don't have anything to do with God. They are the religious leaders. The Pharisees were the most holy, considered the most holy in the whole land. They were the best Israel had to offer, and they weren't even going to heaven. They didn't know the Lord. My Father, not your Father or our Father, my Father. You see, that stung the Jewish leaders because he is claiming to be the Messiah. To call him my Father in heaven, he's claiming to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God. Not just one of God's children, the only begotten Son promised in the Old Testament, the one and only Messiah, Mashiach, Christos, Christ. They would consider that the height of all blasphemy right there. They would want him dead instantly. They would grab rocks, stones, and kill him themselves. Why? Because he brought mercy and grace and healing to someone who couldn't walk. That's the terrible thing he did that day. They hate Jesus. And if you read through the Gospels, eyewitness reports, what did he ever do that would make you hate him? Nothing. Everything he did was kind. It was loving. He healed. He fed people. He encouraged them. He just sat and answered their questions. He talked with some of the men and women that real Jews wouldn't even stand near. He talked to the tax collectors, to the prostitutes, to the sinners, they were called. Don't you wonder why they would hate him? I'm amazed today how many people hate Jesus. They don't even know him, and they just hate him. They want to put him to death even more now. So look at verse 19, because they're so angry because he made himself equal with God. Verse 19, then Jesus answered, in other words, spoke again, and he said unto them. Now, everybody, listen to the words. As you read it, notice what you're reading. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, that's he himself, can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Jesus, because now they're more angry because he's made himself equal with God. You know what he says, basically? He says, it's true. Yes, I am God Almighty. I am equal with God. Yes. Co-equal with God the Father. And he says, I am not acting on my own. I'm doing what the Father is telling me to do. I see the Father do it, I do it, he says, because we're one. I'm not acting on my own. I'm doing what the Father has called me to be doing, told me to be doing. Jesus says, I do what I see the Father do. And then he says, the Father loves the Son. He just said, the Father, God Almighty, loves me, Jesus says. And he shows me everything he does. And I do what I see the Father do. And listen closely. He just told these guys and you and me and his disciples who are there listening, he just told them this. And I will do greater things than these that you've seen already. Greater things than these. So that you will marvel. That means be completely astounded or amazed. What is more amazing than having a guy just stand up and walk away who has not walked in 38 years? I'll tell you. Having a guy that's over 40 years old that was born blind and has never seen, and Jesus just says, you can see now, and the guy can see and walks off seeing. There's no more communication we hear from him to them. He just did it. Why? Because God is love. He understands what we're doing here. He understands what we're going through. We don't. He does. You know, why didn't he help me? Look at you. He has. He has. I love the sun. I'm a desert boy, and I love the sunshine. But Oswald Chambers is right when he says, a life of all sunshine makes a desert. And so in your life and in mine, God wants to add a little snow. Ooh, man. And rain. And like strong winds that almost knock you down. That's just Idaho alone. Why? Because it makes you grow. It makes you strong. It causes you little things here and there cause me to run to him and say, help, right? It gets my attention and I go running to him. That's what I should do always. How about you? We can do this. And that's what he's telling them. He healed a man that had not walked in 38 years. He says, you're going to see greater things than this and you will be amazed. Well, the Pharisees won't be amazed. They'll just get more jealous and more jealous and more jealous. And what did he say to them? And I say this to people today. Listen closely. It's not that you can't believe. It's that you won't. Jesus says, you refuse to surrender to me to believe. It's not that you can't. Well, I can't. I have too many questions. Yes, you can. You won't. There's something in there holding you back where you refuse Jesus. You don't want to do that. You do not want to refuse Jesus Christ. And you'll see why coming up in another few verses. For as the Father, verse 21, remember he says you're going to see greater works than these and you'll marvel. So verse 21, as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, makes them alive, even so the Son quickens whom he will, makes alive or gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no individual. You better mark that down. It'll help you in your walk. The Father judges no individual, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son. Who will judge the angels? God the Father or God the Son? Yeah, they're both one, I know, but God the Son. Who's going to judge all mankind? God the Son. You and me, or you and I, are going to be judged by Jesus. Wait a minute. How many of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You've already been judged. True? Didn't the judgment take place on the cross? Didn't all your sin? He took it himself and paid for it. Is it gone? It's gone, paid in full. Are you afraid of a judgment coming up? The only people that should be afraid of a judgment coming up are those who know for sure they don't want Jesus because he is the judge. My sins have been judged at the cross. Yours have too. If you've surrendered Jesus, you'll see the language in a moment. I'm not making this up. I'm not just saying it because I heard some pastor say it. I'm going to read it to you. They are angry that Jesus claimed to be equal with God. He again makes it clear that he is. Just as the Father raises those from the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son of Man gives life to whom he will. God has given. Jesus said, God's given me that authority. I can give life. And he's talking about eternal life to anyone I will. So we've seen now he's got the power to give life. We've seen he's got the position of judgment. Now he says, truly, truly, in our language, verily, verily means truly, truly. In our language, you would say, most assuredly, I say to you, the one who hears my word. Now, when he says, here's my word, understand this, everyone, not just hearing it by ear, but hearing it to believe it, receiving it, in other words, letting it come in, right? One that hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Who sent Jesus? The Father sent him. You sure? You know why? God said so. He's going to send his only begotten son. Look through. He is the main figure. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the main figure of the entire Old Testament. The promise of Messiah. Everybody is looking for him. So the one who hears my word, that means hearing it to believe, receiving it, in other words, and believes in him who sent me. What exactly does that mean? Let me try to put it in simple language. Jesus is saying the individual must believe that God sent the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. Why did Jesus come to the earth? To be crucified, to pay the price for us. That's why he came. There was no other reason he needed to come, because nobody could save themselves. No blood is powerful enough. The blood of animals in the Old Testament, you kill them over and over again, and they only cover the sin. Jesus washes it away, gone, clean, complete righteousness. You must believe. So see, we got to believe. Every individual must believe that God sent Jesus. Get this. The Father sent the Son. And must believe that God, what God says about the Lord Jesus. What does he say? He says he is the only Savior, and sins can only be washed away by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Father says. Truly, truly, verse 24, I say unto you, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into or unto life. Oh my goodness, that is a big deal if you're even questioning your salvation. I believe in the security of the believer. I also, like J. Vernon McGee, believe in the insecurity of the non-believer. If you think you're secure and you don't really know Jesus, you're allowed another think. But if you belong to Jesus, if you've surrendered and given him your life, you have not to worry about the judge. And that's what he's saying. Because Jesus and God are one, to reject one is to reject the other. If you reject the Father, you have rejected the Son. If you've rejected the Son, you do not have eternal life. To reject one is to reject the other. To honor one is to honor the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Think about the number of people who believe God, they believe in God, but they reject Jesus as God the Son. And it doesn't matter how you code it or try to explain it or try to make excuses. You know, a spade is still going to have to be a spade. You reject Jesus, you have rejected God Almighty. God's word clearly teaches, and Jesus tells us right here, and in many other places, he and the Father are one, co-equal. He is God, fully man here on the earth. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh. So we've seen now he's got the power to give life. We've seen he's got the position of judgment. Now he says, truly, truly, in our language, verily, verily means truly, truly. In our language, you would say, most assuredly, I say to you, the one who hears my word. Now, when he says, here's my word, understand this, everyone, not just hearing it by ear, but hearing it to believe it, receiving it, in other words, letting it come in, right? One that hears my word and believes in him who sent me, that individual has eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.